Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, as we continue in this series, and we're talking about we can handle it, we got to say, what does that mean? What does it mean when we say that you can handle it? What we're saying is that you have the ability to overcome challenges by successfully managing your thoughts, emotions, and actions. That's what it means to handle it. Now, one of the things that we are going to have to be able to manage in our lives is disappointment. If we want to live the abundant life, if we want to live the life that God created us to live, then we are going to have to learn how do we manage this thing called disappointment. And I don't have to tell you that disappointment is tough. I don't have to tell you that it's hard. You've felt it before. You have experienced it, and here's how I know that. I know that because nobody is exempt from disappointment. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much potential you have. It doesn't matter how well you've performed in your past. Sooner or later, you are going to be on the receiving end of disappointment. Now, I like to say it this way. I want you to write this down. Come on, I want you to get ready to take some notes today. Write it down in your phone. Take it on with pen and paper. But I want you to write this down. Being disappointed is a part of life, but staying disappointed will destroy your life. Come on, I want you to write that down. You ought to put something in the chat right now. Come on, put some fire, put a little flex in the chat. Come on, you know that's true. Being disappointed, it's a part of life, but staying disappointed will destroy your life. Now, when we talk about disappointment, what are we really talking about? Let me define the word disappointed for you, because disappointment simply means being disappointed. So let me define that for you. Disappointed means to fail to fulfill the expectations or the wishes of. To fail to fulfill the expectations or the wishes of. Now, there are three common things that we get disappointed with. So let's talk about these things today because, once again, we are dealing with this thing that every single one of us is going to have to deal with, this thing called disappointment. What are the three things that we are going to get disappointed with in life? The first thing that we are going to get disappointed with is life. We are going to get disappointed with life. We're going to get disappointed because it's not going the way that we thought it was going to go. It's not going to go the way that we think it should be going. Sometimes life seems unfair. And when it seems unfair, we tend to get disappointed. These are some of the things that we start saying when we're disappointed. We start saying things like, man, I just can't catch a break. We start saying things like, everything in the world is going against me. We get into a Murphy's Law mentality, right? That says, whatever can go wrong will go wrong. And we live disappointed. Why? Because life is failing to fulfill our expectations or our wishes. But here's another way that we get disappointed. We don't just get disappointed with life. We also get disappointed with others. Come on, how many of you have ever been disappointed with people? Come on, give me a little emoji, raise a little hand in there. Come on, wave at me. You've been disappointed with other people. Come on, people are going to disappoint you. Well, your family is going to disappoint you. Your parents will disappoint you. Your kids will disappoint you. Your siblings are going to disappoint you. Your friends are going to disappoint you. There's going to be leaders and maybe even pastors that are going to disappoint you. Maybe even some people that you respect in the community or people that you've looked up to your whole life, and they are going to disappoint you. That boss is going to fail to deliver on their promise to you. Your friends are going to break your trust. A leader's character is not going to match up to their words. Their actions and their words aren't going to match up, and you're going to be disappointed. Once again, what does that mean? They are going to fail to fulfill your expectations. They are going to fail to fulfill your wishes. But not only do we get disappointed with life, not only do we get disappointed with others, but we also get disappointed with yourself. Now, if we were going to be honest, this is what happens the majority of the time. Sure, we get disappointed with life. Sure, we get disappointed with others. But most of the time, this is the disappointment that happens the most often in our lives, is we get disappointed with ourselves. And not only does it happen the most, this also stings the most. It hurts the most. You see, whenever you have promised yourself that you are never going to do something and then you do that thing, or you promised yourself that you would always respond a certain way and you don't respond that way, whenever you begin to betray yourself and you are not acting the way that you know you should act, you're not doing what you said you would do, in those moments, we disappoint ourselves. You see, many times, the root of disappointment with life and the root of disappointment with others is actually the fact that we are disappointed with us. And we say things like life is unfair. We say that we're disappointed in life, but many times life is just giving us back what we sowed into the soil. So we can say all we want, I'm disappointed with life, but really we're disappointed with ourselves because we realize that we are just reaping what we sowed. Many times we say that I'm disappointed with others, I'm disappointed with people, but really I'm just saying that so I can focus on all the things that they are doing wrong so that I don't have to focus and admit to all the things that I am doing wrong. And so I say I'm disappointed with other people because I don't want to admit that I am disappointed with myself, that I am doing the wrong things. So these are three common areas that we find ourselves disappointed. Now, let me just give you a little tip right here. That is, if you find yourself consistently disappointed with others and consistently disappointed with life, then chances are you're actually disappointed with yourself. If nothing is ever living up to your expectation, if life isn't living up to your expectation, and people aren't living up to your wishes, then the chances are you are disappointed with yourself. And if you do not resolve that, hear me clearly, if you don't resolve that, then nothing else will ever live up to your expectations. Your spouse will never live up to your expectations. Your boss will never live up to your expectations. Life won't live up to your expectations. Even God won't live up to your expectations when you are disappointed with yourself. So if you're disappointed with everything around you, you got to check and make sure, am I disappointed with myself? Okay, so what happens when we say, yeah, okay, Philip, that's true. I'm disappointed with life right now, the way things are going, COVID-19, I lost my job. All these things are happening. I feel like a lot of things are unfair. They're not going my way right now. Maybe you've been disappointed with the actions of others over these last few months. People haven't responded the way that you think they should respond, and people have failed to meet your expectations. And maybe you've been upset with yourself during this season, right? You've been upset. Okay, so how do we handle disappointment? No matter where the disappointment is coming from, how do we handle it? Well, we're going to go into the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13, Jesus tells us a story, and this story is going to help us today deal with the disappointment. Whether you're disappointed with yourself, you're disappointed with people, you're disappointed with life, this story is going to help us. In chapter 13, verse 6, it says, Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and then came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, "Sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down." How do we handle disappointment? The very first thing that we must do if we are going to handle disappointment is we must expect it. We must expect to be disappointed. Now, I'm not saying this so that you live in negativity or you live in skepticism. I'm not saying this. All I'm saying this is that we need to expect it so we're not shocked and surprised whenever it shows up in our lives. You see, if you expect it, you will be more prepared to respond to it. If you expect it, you will be more prepared to respond to it. You see, it's one thing if you get punched in the jaw when you are in the boxing ring. But it's a whole nother thing if you get punched in the jaw when you are on the bread aisle of your grocery store. You see, whenever I'm in a boxing match, I am expecting to get hit, and therefore I am prepared and I am ready for it. But whenever I'm at Kroger, I'm just trying to find my nature's own honey wheat. I'm not expecting to get punched in the face on the bread aisle. I wasn't ready for it. And you see, it is hard to respond well whenever you are constantly surprised by disappointment. It's hard to respond well whenever you are constantly surprised by disappointment. It's hard for you to keep your peace. It's hard for you to maintain your joy. It is hard for you to move forward in faith when you are always shocked and surprised that life has disappointed you, that other people have disappointed you, or that you disappointed yourself. See, I love this story that Jesus tells. And there in verse 6, he says, "A man planted a fig tree in his garden, and he came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed." It says he came again and again. Now, as I read that, I see that he's coming frequently. He's coming frequently, and he seems to be disappointed because nothing is changing. You see, this is what we often do. We come frequently looking for change, and when we don't see change, we get disappointed, just like the man in this story. And many times this happens because we don't understand or know how long it actually takes for things to change. We don't know how long it's actually going to take to begin to bear some of this new fruit. You see, in my experience, people can overestimate what should change in a month, but they underestimate how much change can happen in a year. They overestimate how much should change in a short period of time, but they underestimate how much can actually change in a year. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm not surprising you right now. Y'all know that I'm not a gardener, okay? I don't have a green thumb. So I had to do a little research on the fig tree. I had to figure out how long does it take for a fig tree that was planted to produce figs, to produce fruit. And what I found is that a fig tree is typically fruitful. It produces its first fruit somewhere between 3 and 5 years of being planted. Now, the story tells us that the man had waited 3 years. What does that say? That means that he was at the beginning of the possibility of getting fruit, but he was ready to cut the tree down because he was tired of being disappointed. You see, it's okay for you to hope there's going to be figs in year 3, but it's not okay for you to be so disappointed that there's no figs in year 3 that you are ready to cut the tree down. You see, don't get so upset with yourself. Don't get so frustrated with yourself. Don't quit on yourself because you haven't changed in all of these areas, because your life is not measuring up to where you really want it to measuring up, because you're not producing all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because you're not just overflowing all the time. Understand that this takes time. This requires process. Don't quit on people just because they have a bad response. Don't quit on people just because they don't understand. Don't quit on people just because they're not being kind. Don't quit and give up on the people around you. And don't give up on life. Don't quit on life simply because it's not where you want it to be. Are you not? It's not where you think it should be right now. Don't quit on life. You see, we have to expect it to take time. The same way the gardener says, hey, let's give it a little more time. Let's expect it to take time, and let's expect there to be disappointments. So many times people get knocked off course because they weren't expecting disappointment. They thought, well, I'm walking with Jesus now. Well, now I'm a Jesus follower. Now I'm not going to have any more disappointments. No, just because you're following Jesus, that doesn't mean you're not going to be disappointed. You will get disappointed with life. You're going to get disappointed with others. You're going to get disappointed with yourself. We follow Jesus so we can get back up and move forward in faith again. Don't let your disappointment stop you because you weren't expecting it. Expect a disappointment on the journey. You will be disappointed. So we understand that's the first thing that we have to do to handle disappointment is we've got to expect it. Now, here's the second thing we have to do with disappointment, and that is we have to expose it. We have to expose it. Don't allow your disappointments to stay hidden. You've got to get your disappointments out. See, one of disappointment's biggest threats in your life is silence. So when you get disappointed and you go silent, bad things start to grow on the inside of you. Bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. When people disappoint you, when life disappoints you, and you don't let it out, it stays in the dark, and then bad things begin to grow in our lives. Look, we see this in the Bible. We see in the book of Psalms where David is letting his frustrations out. He is letting his disappointments out, and disappointments with himself, disappointments with life. Let's read in Psalm chapter 13, verse 1. It says, "Oh Lord," David praying here, "how long will you forget me?" Come on, right there. Look at the honesty of David. God, how long are you going to forget me? Forever? Come on. How many of you ever felt just forgotten by God? You felt like God doesn't see me. God doesn't hear me. That's where David is right now. He's frustrated, disappointed with life. How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Come on, can you hear David's disappointment with life in this season? He's saying, my enemies have the upper hand. God, I don't see you working. I don't feel you working right now. I am disappointed with where I'm at. I'm disappointed with how things have turned out. I am disappointed, but David was letting it out. He was letting it out. Come on, when you think about the Psalms, all David was doing, he was praying to God, but he was also writing it down. And this is a way that you can let it out. Let it out, pray to God, and journal. Pray to God and journal. But look, David doesn't just stop there disappointed with life. Let's see David talking about the disappointment of himself. Psalm 51, verse 1. "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. Come on, do you see it right there? David is saying, I'm disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed in my sin. I'm disappointed in my rebellion. I'm disappointed that I did life my way. I responded my way. I reacted my way. God, I am so disappointed in me. And he's writing this down. He is letting this disappointment out. And you have to learn, how do we let our disappointment out to God? And how can we do that? Through journaling and through prayer. But I want to go back now to the story that we're looking at that Jesus tells us right there in the book of Luke. And I want you to see this, that not only do we see the example in the Bible of letting it out to God through prayer and through journaling, but here we see letting it out to people. Now we understand you got to let it out to the right people, right? You got to let it out to the right people, but that's what the man does. Let's look in verse 7. Does Jesus telling the story here? He says, finally, he said to his gardener, look, he's talking to his gardener. He's going to expose his disappointments. He's coming again and again and again and again. No fruit. Nothing's changing. I'm disappointed. And so he lets it out to somebody. He tells his gardener, I've waited 3 years. There hasn't been a single fig. Cut the tree down. It's just taking up space in the garden. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Give it one more chance. You see, this man simply told his gardener what he was thinking. He told his gardener what he was feeling. He told his gardener about his very real disappointments. And it's amazing because the gardener keeps the man from potentially making a mistake. He says, hey, it's only been 3 years. Let's give it one more year. He keeps the man from making a mistake. And guess what? You need people in your life that'll help you from making a mistake as well. You need people that you can talk your disappointments over with, and they can pull you back from the ledge. They can keep you from doing the wrong thing or saying the wrong thing. You need friends and advisors and counselors and coaches in your life. Maybe there's even a professional counselor that you need to go and see. And me and Destiny are huge advocates of getting professional help and professional counseling. Why? Because we all need somebody that we can expose our disappointments to. See, we're in the series right now, I Can Handle It. But you see, I cannot handle what is hidden. You can handle it, but you cannot handle what is hidden. That's why it's so important that you get your disappointment out. You've got to let it out. You've got to tell the right people. You've got to express it to God. You have got to expose your disappointments. Don't let your disappointments stay in the dark. Bring it out into the light. Talk about it with God, journal about it, and also tell a trusted friend or advisor. We have to expose our disappointments. If we want to handle it, we can't leave it hidden. We've got to get it out. And that takes us to the third thing that we need to do. If we are going to handle disappointment, the first thing, we need to expect it so we're not surprised by it when it shows up. Then we expose it. We get it out into the light. We don't let it hide in the darkness. And the last thing we do is we must exploit it. We must exploit it. Let me give you the definition for the word exploit. It means to make full use of and derive benefit from. Now you may be thinking, wait a minute, derive benefit? How derive benefit from disappointment? Wait a minute, how is that going to work? You see, this is a mindset shift whenever it comes to disappointment. Let me read you this quote from Dr. David Murray. He said, no one escapes failure and disappointment. Well, that's important. We've already said that. Nobody escapes failure and disappointment. So we might as well plan on it and prepare for it with a view of profiting from it. Come on, do you see right there? You might as well plan on it. That's what we're talking about. You got to expect it. You got to plan on disappointment showing up and knocking on your door so you're not surprised and shocked by it. And then he goes on and he says, and you got to prepare for it. You see, that's why we know we've got to expose it. I'm prepared for it right now. So I'm not going to keep it in. I'm going to get it out. I'm prepared of how I'm going to respond to that disappointment. But then it takes it one step further. And he says, don't just plan for it and prepare for it. Be ready to profit from it. Be ready to exploit it. Be ready to derive a benefit from it. You see, if you don't recognize disappointment and learn how to turn it around, then eventually it will drive you down. If you don't learn how to turn it around, it's going to eventually drive you down. You see, disappointment is attempting to hold your attention until its partner in crime can show up. You say, what partner in crime? What partner in crime does disappointment have? Oh, disappointment has a partner in crime. You see, disappointment is just trying to hold your attention long enough until discouragement can show up and take over. I want you to see all disappointment does. Disappointment just holds the door open for discouragement to walk into your life. Disappointment is not the goal. Disappointment is just the door holder. Disappointment is just holding the door because its partner in crime, discouragement, is going to walk through the door. This is why we cannot stay disappointed, because if we stay disappointed, we are opening our heart and our mind and our life up for discouragement to walk in. And that's why I'm going to be talking to you next week about how do we deal with discouragement? How do we handle discouragement? Because we've got to know, how do I handle discouragement? You can't fulfill the will of God discouraged. You can't be who you need to be discouraged. You can't do what God put you on this earth to do if you're discouraged. That's why the scriptures keep saying, be encouraged, take courage. We read it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The enemy is trying to discourage you because he knows you cannot do what you were put on the earth to do if you are discouraged. So what does he send? He sends disappointment, and disappointment holds the door for discouragement to walk through. That's why you've got to recognize disappointment. You got to recognize it, and you've got to learn how to turn this thing around before discouragement takes you down. Come on, let's just be honest for a moment. Hasn't disappointment been exploiting us long enough? But hasn't the enemy been sending disappointment, and disappointment has been taking advantage of us? Disappointment has been deriving a benefit from us. The enemy's been using it to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Come on, it's time for us to turn the table around and begin to exploit disappointment in our lives. I love what the gardener says to the man in the story in verse 8. He says, leave it another year. I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. Just leave it one more year. He didn't ask for a week. He didn't ask for a month. He said, leave it one more year. Don't overestimate what can happen in a short period of time, but don't underestimate what can happen in a long period of time. He said, just give it one more year, and he says, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. You see, there are things that are disappointing you right now, and they just need special attention. What is that? They just need more work. They just need more work. There are some things in yourself, you are disappointing yourself, and it just needs more. It needs some more work. You've got to learn some more. You've got to grow some more. You've got to get some more mentors. You've got to get some things helping you. There are some relationships right now that are disappointing you, and those relationships just need work, whether it's a marriage, a relationship with a kid, with a coworker. That relationship is experiencing tension, and what do you need to do? You just need to put a little more time and attention and work to it. You need to give it some special attention. There are some things in life that are disappointing you right now, and the only reason that they are disappointing you is you haven't paid special attention to it. You haven't given it enough work in that area, and you are experiencing disappointment from life because it just needs a little bit more attention. And if you put a little extra work towards it, it's amazing what will happen. Now you are not disappointed. But he didn't just say you need to give it some special attention. He also said this. He said, I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. And plenty of fertilizer. You see, there are some things that are disappointing you right now, and they just need a little fertilizer. So what are we talking about when we say fertilizer? I'm just talking about they need a little more grace. Come on, fertilizer. I don't know how fertilizer works. You just throw it down and help stuff grow. Come on, that's just like grace. I don't understand everything about God's grace, but I know it just helps us in a supernatural, profound, very practical way. And sometimes here's what we need to do. We just need to sprinkle a little grace on it. There are some things that are in you. You just need to sprinkle a little grace on it because you're just not there yet. There are some people in your life who you've been disappointed with, and you know the only way you're not going to be disappointed with them is you sprinkle a little grace on it. There are some things in your life right now that have disappointed you. They have failed to live up to your expectation and your wishes. And what you need to do is just sprinkle a little grace on it. Give it a little fertilizer. Make sure that you don't just give it the attention and the work that it needs, but also give it the grace that it needs. You see, we live in this tension between the grit and the grace, between the faith and the works. And this is where we live. And we can't go just all in with one and not the other. No, we've got to work it and we've got to sprinkle it with grace. We got to get our hands dirty down in the soil. We got to do what we need to do. We got to prune it. We got to work for it. And then we also just need to take that grace and just sprinkle that grace and say, God, you got to do what I cannot do. Holy Spirit, you've got to do what I could never do. It takes both. And that's exactly what the man says. He says, I'm going to give it some special attention and I'm going to work. And then I'm going to take some fertilizer and I'm going to put some fertilizer. I'm going to sprinkle a little grace on it as well. Come on, it would do our soul some good if we just listened to this gardener. And he just said, hey, give it one more year. Things can change. Just give it one more year. Give it a little more time. Let's give it a little special attention. Let's sprinkle a little grace on it. And I think that something new can grow. We can get some new fruit out of it. Well, as I wrap up, I want to give you this last thought and then we're going to pray. This is what I want you to see. Disappointment. Everybody's going to experience it. No one is exempt from it. Disappointment is either going to be an open door for discouragement or an opportunity for improvement. Disappointment. It is either going to be the open door for discouragement or it is going to be an opportunity for improvement. You see, that's why we have to begin to exploit the disappointment when it shows up. Because for so long, disappointment has been showing up. It's been opening the door for discouragement. And discouragement has been walking right into our lives. And discouragement has been exploiting us and taking advantage of us. But now I recognize disappointment because I was expecting it. Whenever I'm expecting it, I know what I'm going to do whenever it shows up. And I'm going to expose it. And I'm going to tell God about my disappointments, and I'm going to tell trusted people in my life about disappointment, and then I'm going to begin to exploit it because I'm going to begin to turn that thing around and say, disappointment, you are not going to hold the door open for discouragement any longer. No, instead, I recognize it now. This is my opportunity for improvement. This is my opportunity to get my hands dirty and do some work on myself, to do some work in relationships, to do some work in life, and this is my opportunity to sprinkle a little grace into my soul and a little grace on other people and a little grace into life. I'm going to do those things. And I realize that this is simply an opportunity. Disappointment, thank you for showing up. Thank you for knocking on my door because you just showed me the place of my improvement. It's going to be one or the other. And you get to choose. You get to choose how you respond to disappointment. Is disappointment going to be the open door to discouragement in your life? Or is disappointment going to be the opportunity for improvement in your life? It will be one or the other. When disappointment shows up and disappointment knocks on our door, come on, we're going to be ready. We're not surprised. We're not shocked. We knew it was going to come sooner or later. That doesn't mean I'm living in negativity. Doesn't mean I'm a pessimist. Doesn't mean I'm looking for disappointment around every corner. Whereas this, no. It just means whenever it shows up, I was ready for it. And whenever it shows up, it's not going to get to stay in the dark. No. I'm going to expose it because I know how to handle it now. And not only am I going to expose it and just hope that it's not too bad. Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to expose it and then I'm going to exploit it. I'm going to derive a benefit from it. I'm going to allow it to profit me and to bring improvement into my life, because I'm going to get my hands to work and I'm going to bring God's super into my natural, and I'm going to throw a little grace on it, and I'm going to watch things change in my life. Come on, friends, you can handle disappointment. I know this might have been a tough season. I know there might be difficult things going, but I want you to know that you can handle it. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. God, we know that we're all going to experience disappointment. Sooner or later, no matter who we are, no matter how much we love you or how long we have walked with you, we are going to be on the receiving end of disappointment. But God, we know if we expect it and we expose it, then we can exploit it. And when we do those things, God, we know that we can begin to see fruit grow in our lives. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the work that you are doing on the inside of us. And right now, if you say, Philip, I need a brand new start. I need a brand new start. I need God to forgive me of my sins. I just need relationship with God. That's what I need right now in my life. I feel so far away from God. I need today to be a new beginning. Friend, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, this day can be your new beginning. Or maybe today you say, Philip, I've got to handle disappointment better. Disappointment has been a door holder and a door opener for discouragement these last several weeks, months, and maybe even years of your life. And you say, Philip, this message was for me. Life has disappointed me. People have disappointed me. I have disappointed myself. You're saying, I don't want to live under the weight of that disappointment. I don't want to let discouragement come in and keep me away from everything that God created me to be. Right now, if you say, Philip, I need a brand new start, are you saying, Philip, I need to handle this disappointment in my life? Wherever you are, if you're saying, Philip, this message resonates with me, I feel the Holy Spirit doing something, speaking something to the inside of me right now. Today is a day of change in my life. Come on, that you just say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Right there where you are. Come on, just say, that's me. God, that's me. God, that's me. God, that's me. God, that's me. Father, I thank you for every person right now that needs a brand new beginning. I thank you for every person right now that says, I have experienced disappointment, and that disappointment has been a door opener for discouragement, but no longer. Now disappointment will be the opportunity for improvement in my life. I'm going to work, and I'm going to sprinkle some grace, and I'm going to go through the process of seeing new things birthed in my life, new fruit on the tree of my life. And Father, I thank you for it today in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, come on, put an amen on that this morning. Hey, I'm so pumped that you're watching today, but I want to make sure that you are going to be back next week as we were talking about how do you handle discouragement? Because for some of us, disappointment has held that door open and discouragement has already walked in. And you say, hey, Philip, hey, this is really good for disappointment, but I'm beyond disappointment. Right now, I'm discouraged. Well, I cannot wait to talk to you next week. And I promise you, after that message, you're going to be saying, I can handle it. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.